Barbara Britton and Gene Lockhart. From Hollywood, the Mutual Network, in cooperation with Family Theater, presents Who Am I? Starring Barbara Britton. And now, here is your host, Gene Lockhart.
Family Theater's only purpose is to bring to everyone's attention a practice that must become an important part of our lives if we are to win peace for ourselves, peace for our families, and peace for the world. Family Theater urges you to pray. Pray together as a family.
And now to our transcribed drama, Who Am I? Starring Barbara Britton as Nina.
I don't remember being on the subway at all, but from what we learned later, I had gotten on at Lexington and then must have changed my mind about something because two stops later I got off and was running across the platform toward an uptown express that would have taken me right back where I came from when suddenly my heel caught on something and I started to fall forward.
Oh, she must have tripped. Did you see her bang into that pillar?
Is she breathing?
Sure, she's breathing, but she's out cold as a mackerel. Hey, conductor, you wanted to lie here all day? Get a doctor.
My bed was in a room high up in the building, and I could see rooftops from the window and beyond them a river. I found out later it was called the East River. But I didn't know that when I first woke up. That and a lot of other things.
The name Nina Campbell doesn't mean anything to you?
No.
You're sure of that?
Yes, Doctor.
By tracing the key tag in your coat pocket, we found that you were registered under that name at a downtown hotel.
I'm sorry, I don't know the name.
And you don't remember being on the subway? Or where you were going?
No.
Do you remember anything at all? Are there any pictures in your mind? Any images?
None that I understand.
It doesn't matter whether you understand them or not. What are they?
Just one I can think of now. I'm writing on something, a piece of heavy white paper.
But you don't know what you're writing?
No.
Or where this is taking place?
I'm afraid I'm not much help.
And yet you realize certain basic things like this is a hospital in New York City.
Yes, and well, that's what's strange. I realize some of these things, but well, I didn't know that river out there was called the East River until the nurse told me.
Have you any idea how this kind of amnesia, loss of memory, is brought about?
No, but, well, I knew amnesia was loss of memory.
Any idea how you knew that?
Is it an uncommon thing to know?
No, I wouldn't say so. I'm just trying to tap your subconscious, sort of sneak up on it.
I hope you catch it.
No, you'll have to learn to do this yourself. You'll get flashes, moments of recall. Now, don't let them get away. Hold them in your mind. Write them down. Every detail you can remember, no matter how silly it seems.
I will, but well, Dr. Page, wasn't there any identification in my things at the hotel?
All you had was an overnight bag. A robe, toothbrush, cosmetics. As it stands, the one clue is your signature down on that hotel register, Miss Nina Campbell.
No address given?
No, just New York City.
New York City. 8 million people, half of whom go through their entire lives without ever meeting the other half. I didn't know where to begin. Physically, my head injury wasn't serious, but Dr. Page insisted that I'd need a week or 10 days of complete rest. So I started searching for myself by telephone. Hello? Does a Miss Nina Campbell live there? Nina. N-I-N-A. I see. All right. Yes, I must have the wrong number. No, Nina Campbell among the 75th Street, Campbell.
Miss Campbell?
Yes, nurse?
Dr. Page just phoned. He's on his way upstairs.
Did he say if the police had learned anything yet?
No, he didn't.
Well, It's only been 3 days.
But he's bringing another doctor with him to see you.
Another doctor?
Yes, a specialist, Dr. Elliott.
Well, I thought Dr. Page was a specialist himself.
Oh, he is, but in cases like this, it's quite common to bring in a consultant.
Well, good morning, Nina.
Good morning, Doctor.
How are the phone calls coming?
Well, I haven't found her yet. I mean, found me.
Nina, I want you to meet a good friend and colleague of mine, Miss Nina Campbell, Dr. Charles Elliott.
How do you do, Doctor?
Miss Campbell?
Dr. Elliott will be working closely with me on your case from now on, and I expect you to give him your full confidence.
Of course.
He's read your history, brief as it is, but I suggested that he stop by this morning, get acquainted. Then we can let you both move on together, so to speak.
Well, anything you say, Doctor.
Fine. Well, I've got some rounds to make. I'll look in when I'm finished, Charles.
Fine, Doctor.
Dr. Page wanted to ask you about the lady down at 514.
Yes? Well, Miss Campbell, suppose we start with a piece of heavy white paper that you were writing on. Do you recall anything more about that?
I'm afraid not.
Is it possible that this is something you were signing?
You mean like the hotel register?
Yes.
No, it... Of course, it's vague. I can't be sure this is right at all, but it... Well, it seemed smaller than a register, and it was thick and was sort of folded.
Could it have been a legal form of some sort?
You mean like a contract or something?
Yes.
I suppose it could, but why would I be signing a contract?
Well, that's what I'm trying to help you remember.
Doctor, how is it I remember things like where certain streets are and the names of places and cities and still not remember why I remember them or when I was there before or anything like that?
For example?
Well, here in New York, I know there's 3rd Avenue and Park Avenue and 5th Avenue and the Avenue of the Americas.
You missed one.
I did?
Yes. Madison Avenue.
I don't remember any Madison Avenue.
Maybe you don't want to.
Why do you say that?
Well, most cases of amnesia are a result of shock. Not just physical shock, like being struck on the head, but emotional shock, a personal upheaval of some kind, an emotional dislocation.
You think that's what happened to me?
Well, it's something we have to consider.
Well, then you're saying when I fell and struck my head, that alone couldn't have done this to me.
There's no doubt it was a precipitating factor, but...
But by itself, it wouldn't have caused me to lose my memory?
Miss Campbell, in a hospital like this, perhaps a dozen people a day are treated for head injuries that range all the way from skull fractures to superficial bruises. But not one case in 10,000 develops even partial amnesia. And yours is considerably more than partial.
I see. From what you tell me, I'm beginning to wonder if I wouldn't be better off not knowing who I am.
I should tell you that openly admitting that to yourself is an encouraging sign.
Is it?
I'm generalizing a little now, but I think it's safe to say that whatever caused this emotional upheaval was very probably connected with a conscious effort on your part not to be whoever you were, to turn your back on it.
Is that always a bad thing?
Well, by no means. An alcoholic, for example, can turn his back on the fact that he's a hopeless failure, proceed to rehabilitate himself and become a new man, all to the good.
Well, why couldn't that apply to what's happened to me?
Well, the ex-alcoholic, one of his greatest sources of strength is the picture he carries in his mind of himself before he reformed. He hates the picture, and it's a healthy hate because it's a picture of him at his worst, and it's right that he should never return to it. His entire mental apparatus, especially his subconscious, realizes this and helps to keep the picture always before him.
Well, my subconscious seems to have wiped out every picture it's got, except that paper I was writing on.
All right. Now, follow the same reasoning.
As with the alcoholic?
Well, just to see where it leads you.
My subconscious shows me a picture of me signing a paper.
And so far, that's the only picture.
You mean that, like the ex-alcoholic's constant mental picture of himself as a drunk, signing the paper is something I should hate?
Apparently, it's something you do hate.
Well, how does that follow?
It's your subconscious.
After that, every day for the next week, either Dr. Page or Dr. Elliott came by to talk with me. Dr. Page maintained his professional reserve, but Charles, Dr. Elliott, became more like a friend. It wasn't that he had anything at all in the way of a bedside manner. In fact, he stopped using any more technical talk after his first visit. But I got the feeling that he was somehow troubled about something. Something personal that had nothing to do with his work. And in a way I can't explain, that made him a little more human and a lot easier to talk to.
Any idea what you'll do when you're released from the hospital?
You mean for a living?
Well, among other things.
I hadn't thought much about it. I can add, I can read English. I can't use a typewriter, though.
How do you know?
Oh, I tried it last night. I couldn't sleep, so I walked down the hall to where the floor nurse was on duty, typing up reports or something. I asked her to let me try it.
Huh. No good?
I'm all thumbs. Say, maybe I'm a child of leisure, an heiress or something, huh?
Well, you never know.
Do I strike you as the heiress type?
I think you're a little too pretty to be an heiress.
I'll decide in a minute whether that's a compliment or an insult.
Well, it's mostly a compliment.
Charles, do you mind if we don't talk about me for a while? Well, it's a subject that doesn't seem to be getting anywhere.
Oh, you mustn't be discouraged.
Or it's not only that. I'm getting used to feeling rather anonymous. Well, I'd just like to get my mind off it for a while.
All right. Might be a good idea. You feel like reading or resting?
No, I like the conversation. If you've got a little more time.
Sure.
I know you must be busy.
No, not really.
All right. Let's talk about you. Do you have a family?
No.
Live alone?
Very much alone.
Bachelor's apartment?
No, I've got a house out in Queens.
All to yourself?
Yeah, all to myself.
Raise vegetables?
Petunias.
What color is a petunia?
Oh, they vary. White, violet, very pretty, though.
Charles?
Yes?
If I wanted to, could I be released from the hospital sometime tomorrow?
I suppose so. Why?
Well, then physically, I'm perfectly well.
Perfectly?
In that case, do you suppose I could get a temporary release from here, for, say, 3 or 4 hours tonight?
Well, it's rather irregular, but...
But it could be done.
Depending on the reason. Just where is it you want to go?
Out to dinner.
Out to dinner where?
Wherever you say. At the time, it didn't occur to me that I was doing anything wrong in asking Charles to take me out. He was obviously lonely, and I didn't know a soul in the world. Seemed like a good idea. As far as the evening itself went, it turned out to be a fine idea. We had dinner in a little place over on 48th Street. Then we walked up to Times Square, and on the way, Charles showed me Madison Avenue, a street I didn't remember. But it didn't ring any bells. It was about 10:30 when we said goodnight, and I signed back in at the hospital. As I stepped off the elevator at the 6th floor, I noticed that Miss Fraser was on duty at the night desk.
Well, hello, Cinderella.
Hello. I wondered where you were this afternoon.
Oh, we switch around. I'll be on nights for the next 2 weeks.
Want some company?
Well, if you're sure you're not too tired.
I couldn't sleep if they paid me.
Sit down. Did you have any trouble finding your way around tonight?
No, but... Well, I probably would have had plenty if I'd tried it alone.
Oh, you had some company?
Charles. Well, Dr. Elliot took me out to dinner.
Oh.
And then we walked around, and I tried to remember whether I'd ever seen this building or that theater before, but I didn't recognize anything.
You're rather fond of Dr. Elliot, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Miss Campbell, maybe I should mind my own business, but...
Go ahead.
Well, you've got as much trouble on your hands right now as most people see in a lifetime. Trying to remember who you are so you can put your life back together. But...
What are you trying to tell me?
Well, I just don't want you to make yourself any unhappier.
Unhappier about what?
Dr. Elliot.
What about Dr. Elliot?
I happen to know he's married.
But He told me he didn't have any family.
Technically, I guess that's right. He and his wife are separated. There weren't any children.
Are you sure of this?
It's just gossip, but I'm afraid it's the kind of gossip that's always true. He's not on the staff here, but, you know, talk like this gets around.
Yes, sir. I guess it does.
Oh, don't think you're the first, Miss Campbell.
What?
A lot of women fall in love with their doctor.
After I finally got to sleep that night, I had a dream. A bright, clear, terrible dream. I was sitting in a large paneled office somewhere high in a tall building on Madison Avenue. All the chairs were upholstered in red leather, and there was a big mahogany desk in front of me. And behind the desk, handing me a fountain pen, was a heavy-set, gray-haired man in a dark suit.
If you'll just sign here.
Yes, Mr. Rudley.
On the bottom line.
Yes, Mr. Rudley.
Your full name.
Yes, Mr. Rudley.
All four copies.
No! No, I won't sign it! I don't want to sign it! I hate to sign it, it's wrong!
Miss Campbell, take it easy.
I know it's wrong.
You've just been dreaming. It's all right.
That's my real name. It's my real name.
You just had a dream.
I shouldn't have signed it. I've been having a nightmare.
You're safe here in bed. It's just been a bad dream.
I know. I'm sorry. But Mr. Rudley wanted me to... That was his name.
Take it easy.
But that was his name. Mr. Rudley, on Madison Avenue. I remember.
Miss Campbell.
I've got to write it down. Dr. Page said I have to hold these things.
I'll write it for you.
Mr. Rudley, on Madison Avenue.
Mr. Rudley.
He'll be in the phone book.
Madison
Avenue. I'll look it up and call him.
Miss Campbell.
It's his office.
He wouldn't be at his office at 4 in the morning.
I've got to call him and find out who I am.
There wouldn't be anyone there now.
But there might be someone.
Not at this hour. You can call him tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
First thing.
All right.
As soon as you wake up.
I couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. It started to get gray about 6, and I watched the sun lift out of the river and turn the rooftops blue and then red and finally yellow. And at 8:15, I started phoning. There was only one Mr. Rudley who had an office on Madison Avenue, a James L. Rudley, attorney at law, and I rang his number again and again.
Still no answer?
Still no answer.
Miss Campbell, naturally, I hope this Rudley person can throw some light on the problem. But you mustn't set your heart on it.
I was in his office, Doctor. I know it. If I were an artist, I could draw a picture of the place.
But you can't remember what for.
To sign something, some paper.
Have you spoken to Dr. Elliot about this yet?
No, he hasn't been in this morning.
Well, don't you think he should know about it?
You can tell him if you want to. I don't see that it matters one way or the other.
Is anything wrong, Miss Campbell? Well,
what could be wrong? I'm going to find out who I am in a little while. I'll have some identity. I'm very happy. Oh, this is Miss Campbell. Would you try that number again for me, please? There's nothing wrong at all, Doctor. Hello. Can I speak to Mr. Rudley, please?
Speaking.
Mr. Rudley, this is Nina Campbell.
Who?
Miss Nina Campbell. I was in your office sometime last week, I think. I was there to sign something.
Oh, yes. I didn't recognize your voice for a moment.
You remember me?
Of course. I just didn't expect you to be using that name. Did you get the tickets?
The tickets?
The plane tickets. They should have been delivered to your hotel yesterday.
What? Yes. Yes, I got them. But, Mr. Rudley, I have to ask you something. It's very important, but you may think it's silly.
Is it about the case?
Well, yes, I guess it must be.
Well, at the moment, I'm awfully busy. Could you stop by in, say, about an hour?
Well,
I'm just around the corner from your hotel. Anytime before noon will do. I'll be expecting you.
Mr. Rudley. Mr. Rudley!
Well?
Oh, I lost my nerve. I was afraid to ask him. I've got an appointment at his office in an hour.
Make sure you keep it.
I will.
It's the only way you'll ever stop running from yourself.
Oh, don't worry, Doctor. I'm all through running. It was almost 10 o'clock by the time I'd paid my bill and signed out of the hospital. I decided to go back to my hotel first and see just what kind of plane tickets Mr. Rudley had sent me. So I started down the steps from the front of the hospital, scanning the street for a cab. I guess that's why I didn't see Charles until he was right in front of me.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
You look like you're leaving.
I am leaving. I just talked on the phone with a man who can tell me who I am.
Are you sure?
A man by the name of Rudley, a lawyer. I'm going over to his office right now.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
So the case is closed. I'm cured.
What's wrong, Nina?
Nothing. Not a thing.
Well, in that case, would you mind if I went along with you to see this Mr. Rudley?
Well, there's no point in it.
I think there might be.
What difference can it make to you who I am?
I'm your doctor.
We got in a cab and started downtown. Neither of us said a word all the way. When we pulled up in front of the building where Rudley's office was, Charles helped me out of the cab, and I stood there while he paid the driver. Then as we started toward the entrance, something made me stop.
What's the matter?
I've been here before. I remember it. I've stood in front of this building.
Do you remember when?
No, but I just come out of the building and I looked up at it like this and I thought...
What did you think?
I can't remember, but it was bad. I was unhappy and I... And then I started walking down that way.
Come on.
Where are we going?
Wherever it was you went that day.
But why?
Because I want you to get back to yourself. It's the only way you'll ever know.
Know what?
What you want to do, who you want to be. Come on. Where did you go next?
Well, I started down this street and... Charles, I can't remember.
You've got to remember. Now think. You started down this street. Did you go to the corner?
No, I...
Did you get into a cab?
No, but I was riding on something.
A bus?
The subway. It was the subway.
Are you sure?
Yes. Oh, Charles, that must have been the day I was hurt.
Come on. And keep thinking.
We crossed the street and went down the steps to the subway. All the time it kept coming back in bits and pieces. I'd done this before. Come running down the steps and through the turnstile, crying. I remembered that I'd been crying and then hurried out onto the platform because the train was coming.
Is this the one you took?
I think so.
You sure it wasn't the one that was going uptown?
I'm sure.
All right, let's get on it.
The train started downtown. As we swayed along through the outside darkness, the tarnished yellow lights in the car flashed and flickered. And I began to remember more and more. At the next stop, Charles looked at me, but this wasn't the one. It was the one after this. The train lurched forward again, and I remembered getting up from my seat. Because what I had done was something I knew I'd regret all my life. So I was going to go back and tell Mr. Rudley to forget it. Send me a bill and forget it. Everybody has fights, bad fights. They happen in the best of families. I remembered seeing the other light as the train pulled to a stop. And when the door flew open, I ran out onto the platform because across the way I could see that a train going back uptown had just come in. And then someone grabbed me.
Is this the platform, Nina?
Chuck! Oh, Chuck!
Do you remember?
I wouldn't have left you. I wouldn't have left you.
Nina.
I went to the lawyer and signed the complaint and used my maiden name to register at the hotel, but I wouldn't have left you.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. It was just silly.
No, it wasn't. I do spend too much time at my work.
You faker. You're not a psychiatrist.
I'm a pediatrician. It's pretty close.
Because they both start with P.
Nina, I had to do it this way.
I know.
Be sure how you felt.
Did Dr. Page know about it?
Right from the beginning. That's where I got all that jargon. But he was the only one.
You even had to tell me what color my own petunias were.
I've been watering them.
You going uptown, folks?
No, thanks.
We're going the other way. Home.
This is Gene Lockhart again. You know, I can't help wondering if the title of tonight's story, Who Am I?, is not a question it would do us all good to ask ourselves from time to time. Who am I? Now, by that I don't mean American or French or Dutch, or even, narrowing it down, a doctor or a banker or a housewife. I mean, more basically, who am I to the one who made me? Am I the one who was born blind, but who recognizes in every sound that I hear the voice of God? Am I the one who couldn't finish high school, but who has labored long hours to support my wife and children? Am I the one whose name never appeared in the public registry, but whose charity is known to everyone in the community? Who am I? I am the product of God's hand, the reproduction of what He wanted me to be. I might not be just what I would want myself to be, perfect in every respect, but physically, I am exactly as God wanted me to be. And once I have received this gift of life from God's hand, then I must use it and develop it so that I can give myself back to Him just the way He wants me back. My work is cut out for me by my state in life and my field of employment. What kind of work I do is incidental, but how I do it is the main thing. If I do my best, if I do an honest day's work, whether it be at a desk, at a lathe, or at the bedside of the sick, then I am living part of my life as I should. The other part, my state in life, will usually be determined by the position I hold in the family, whether father, mother, or child. And if I cooperate to make my family the perfect family, full of understanding, kindness, and cooperation, then I will be developing that other part of my life. No matter whether I am working to support a family or working to unite a family, I must always remember that I am not alone in this. The God who made me knows who I am and cares who I am. And He will help me if I ask through prayer, and especially through family prayer, remembering that the family that prays together stays together.
More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. From Hollywood, Family Theater has brought you transcribed Who Am I? Starring Barbara Britton. Gene Lockhart was your host. Others in our cast were Jeanette Nolan, Frank Gerstel, John Daner, and John Stevenson. The script was written and directed for Family Theater by John T. Kelly, with music composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. This series of Family Theater broadcasts is made possible by the thousands of you who feel the need for this type of program, by the Mutual Network, which has responded to this need, and by the hundreds of stars of stage, screen, and radio who give so unselfishly of their time and talent to appear on our Family Theater stage. To them and to you, our humble thanks. This is George Crowell expressing the wish of Family Theater that the blessing of God may be upon you and your home, and inviting you to be with us next week when Family Theater will present Deadbeat, starring Paul Piccerni. Bing Crosby will be your host. Join us, won't you? Family Theater is broadcast throughout the world and originates in the Hollywood studios of the world's largest network. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.